service, the administration of the public service, and all the procedures, policy, frameworks, accountability mechanism that ensure that the functioning of the public service is indeed in good. Personal practices of the public service in this regard will look at the recruitment, transfers, promotions, and dismissals. The public administration practices and all we look at here are all functions and activities executed by the public service to provide a service to the people. We also look at the adherence to applicable procedures in the public service. In this regard, we look at the compliance with the letter and the law of prescribed rules, policies, and procedures, and the extent to which values and principles set out in Section 195 of the Constitution of the Republic are complied with. Honorable Chair, just to say, in terms of oversight, we advise, we make recommendations, and we propose measures to ensure effective and efficient performance within the public service. And indeed, the Public Service Commission, based on its investigations, it gives directions which are aimed at ensuring that the personnel procedures relating to recruitment, transfers, promotions, and dismissals comply with the values and principles set out in Section 195 and contemplated in Section 196 of the Constitution in order to ensure compliance with the Public Service Act and in order to provide advice to promote sound public administration. These directions are binding, Honorable Chair, on executive authorities or heads of departments, as the case may be, and should be implemented within 60 days once the Public Service Commission has issued them. And Honorable Chair, as expected, the Public Service Commission should report to Parliament on its activities, mainly where we report about any finding it makes, the directions it may issue, advice it may give, and an evaluation of the extent to which the values and principles set out in Section 195 are indeed complied with. To the relevant executive authority and legislature on its investigation and evaluation of applications of personnel and public administration, we report accordingly. Honorable Chair, what we have here are the strategic outcome-oriented goals. There are four of them. One is the one that talks about make a positive impact on the attainment of an efficient, economic, effective, and development-oriented public service. And in this regard, the goal statement is people-centered, value-driven, capable, professional, and ethical public service to ensure the optimal use of the resources. With regard to strategic outcome goal 2, make a positive impact on the attainment of impartial and equitable service delivery that responds to the needs of the people and treats them with dignity. And in terms of our goal statement in this regard, we talk about quality of service delivery is improved through building a value-based, capable, and professional public service. With regard to strategic outcome goal 3, it's to strengthen institutional capacity. And in this regard, we talk about an independent, impartial, knowledge-based institution that promotes a development-oriented public service. And finally, in terms of the strategic outcome goal 4, make a positive impact on the attainment of sound labor relations and human resources management. And our goal statement in this regard is a public service that is sensitive and responsive to the needs of its employees. Honorable Chair, this is a high-level organizational structure of the Public Service Commission, and I think we'd say we've got 14 commissioners. Five of them are based at national, and 9 of them are from the respective provinces. In other words, there will be 9 of them. And indeed, we've got the Office of the Director General, and then we have got 4 line functions in terms of 4 DDGs. It's Corporate Services, Leadership Management and Management Practices, monitoring and evaluation, and the integrity and anti-corruption. And indeed, in terms of our provinces, we've got 9 provinces, that each of these provinces has got a 9 officials who support the respective commissioners in those provinces. Just to give an overview of our achievements of 16-17, Honorable Chair, I think you notice out of this slide that we got our budget, that it was started from 220 million and until now that we are on 232 million. But I think what we also show here is a marked improvement in terms of our performance, that from 2015 we were on 88%, and then 2016 we were on 89%, but we have seen in terms of the financial year that has just ended in 31st March 2017, a marked improvement to where we are on 96% in terms of our predetermined objectives, Honorable Chair. And I think in terms of the key branches that we have in terms of the marked improvement, we say in terms of Program 1, which is administration, as of 31st of March 2017, preliminary percentage spending on expenditure was 99.9%. And I think that shows that we have indeed, compared to our predetermined objectives and the budget allocation, we have achieved almost, we spent our budget accordingly. 6 people with disabilities were employed, and which translated to 2%, and 22 of our 44 field posts at SMS level are women, which therefore helps us to say we have achieved 50% of the total staff establishment at SMS level. In terms of our program 2, which is leadership and management practices, Honorable Chair, just to give a highlight that out of 709 grievances that were registered on the PSC's database as of 31st of March 2017, 615, which is 87%, were concluded, and 94, which is 13%, were still pending. And the fact sheet on the monitoring, the career incident of heads of departments was also produced. This is a key piece of work that we do, Honorable Chair, which we monitor the career incidents of heads of departments, including the performance management thereof. With regard to Program 3, which is monitoring and evaluation, Honorable Chair, in respect of the promotion of the constitutional values and principles, we have made a significant strides in terms of making ground for the PSC to promote the constitutional values and principles in the public service. And we did this through a framework and a template on the values and principles. It was produced, and several engagements on the constitutional values and principles were held with the national and provincial departments. They were all meant to assist departments to understand what the PSC be coming to do in terms of the key indicators that we have developed. It is also important, Honorable Chair, to say inspections with regard to the availability of learner teacher support material in all provinces were conducted, and this helped the PSC to understand the state of readiness of the provinces with regard to teaching and learning when schools reopen. With regard to final program, in terms of Program 4, we would like to report that of the 360 complaints lodged, 302, which was 84% of complaints, was finalized and then closed. And again, just to highlight here, a report on the assessment of the implementation of financial disclosure framework for the 2015-16 financial year was also produced. In the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, Honorable Chair, which is a very important initiative that the Public Service Commission conducts, that has been assigned to it, has now been insourced and is managed internally, which has contributed to saving of 2.9 million rand, which now helps the Commission to also generate some of the savings. Honorable Chair, just to start with our 17-18 annual performance plan, we'd just like to highlight the following. That during the 17-18 financial year, our annual performance plan will also include the Public Service Commission Amendment Bill, which we are hoping that during this particular year, it will be finalized. This is important because the bill deals with the renewal of the term of office of the Commissioner. Currently, both the Constitution and the Public Service Act focus on the appointment process and no provision is made to deal with the instance of a renewal of a term of a commissioner. It also makes a provision to appoint a commissioner to act in the absence of the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. And we know that the bill is in the parliamentary process, Honorable Chair. And also to indicate that Section 215 of the Constitution determines the national legislation must establish frameworks for determining the salaries, allowances and benefits of judges, the public protector, the Auditor General and members of any commission provided for in the Constitution. And in 2015, the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services informed the PSC that the legislation which seeks to include both commissions within the scope and mandate of the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Service Bearers has been drafted. The PSC has not received progress from the Minister in this regard. Again, Honorable Chair, during the 2017-18, our annual performance plan, we included the Public Service Regulations 2016, Chapter 2, Part 2, which talks about financial disclosure. I think what we would like to do here is, again, a request that came sharply from the BRRR, particularly from this particular portfolio committee, which then states that the Public Service Commission should scrutinize 100% of the financial disclosure forms of all senior managers. And in this regard, indeed, Chapter 2, Part 2 of the Public Service Regulation, which came into operation on the 1st of August 2016, set out the financial disclosure framework. In relation to the PSC, it provides that the head of department or the executive authority, as the case may be, shall ensure that the disclosure of interest by designated employees is submitted electronically to the Public Service Commission by a specified date. The PSC shall verify interest disclosed, and if the PSC is of the view or of the opinion that an interest of an SMS employee disclosed conflicts or is likely to conflict with the execution of any official duty of that employee, it shall verify the information regarding that interest and refer the matter back to the relevant executive authority. An executive authority shall, within 30 days after such referral, report to the PSC by stating whether any steps were taken, if steps were taken, giving a description of those steps or providing reasons if no steps were indeed taken. Honorable Chair, the Public Service Commission has also developed rules on referral and investigation of grievances of employees in the public service, which were promulgated in Government Gazette number 40359 of 21st October 2016. The purpose of the rules is to provide for the procedures and the service standards in the investigation of grievances by the Public Service Commission. Timeframes within which grievances may be referred to or lodged with the Public Service Commission and mechanisms of monitoring grievance management by the department. Once the PSC has finalized its investigation, the relevant executive authority is informed of its findings and recommendations. The latter is expected to inform the PSC and aggrieved employees about his or her decision based on the PSC's recommendations. Honorable Chair, in this regard, the PSC also reports on the outcome of its investigation in respect of grievance to the National Assembly and provincial legislatures on at least an annual basis. Honorable Chair, the PSC has got four branches, as I indicated, and I think what we have now, we are going to show what each program will do in terms of 17-18 APP. We have also committed ourselves to certain targets. That's why, Honorable Chair and members, you'll see what we'll be able to do at what a particular target. And I think the Commission is committing to this target so that as when we come to report on quarterly basis to the Portfolio Committee, then we'll be held accountable on the dates that on the targets that we have given ourselves. Indeed, we are of the view that under Program 1, which is administration, annual performance plan for 2018-19 financial year will have been approved, and then we are saying those will be done on quarterly basis. And the Commission is saying 80% of the program performance targets will be achieved by March 2018 in terms of end of the financial year. And the Commission is committed to have an qualified audit report during the 2017-18 financial year. And our annual vacancy rate of below 10% will be maintained, Honorable Chair. Then when we, those are the highlights, but when we go to program two, which is leadership and management practice, we have the grievance management, and then the Commission is committed to say 75% of all grievances received will be concluded within 30 days. That is for the levels 1 to 12 and 45 days for SMS upon receipt of all documentation. It's very important, Honorable Chair, because Commission can only conclude any investigation with regard to grievances once all documentations have been received. And indeed, a fact sheet on grievance trends will also be produced here, and then we say this will be done by December 2017, as we have indicated in terms of our target dates. It's important for PSC to generate this grievance trends because they help us to understand what are the issues that should be attended to promote labor peace in the public service. Honorable Chair, there will be a report on the implementation of labor court orders and arbitration awards by departments and the implications for labor relations produced. This is one observation that the PSC has made, that there is hesitation or delay with regard to the implementation of labor court orders or even arbitration awards in the public service. And as such, they lead to a lack of labor peace in the public service. A report on the recruitment, retention, career pathing and utilization of senior management services, expertise and skills in the public service. Again, another initiative that the PSC has observed and noted that these issues should be strengthened in order to professionalize the public service and also lead towards a development-oriented public service. In terms of this branch, Honorable Chair, in terms of this slide, we conclude by reporting that the Public Service Commission again will also have a report on the evaluation of the recruitment and selection processes in the Mpumalanga province, and the report on the contract appointments in Northern province, Northern Cape provincial government. And this particular committee, Honorable Chair, has requested the PSC to conduct a study on to determine factors which are making it difficult for government departments in achieving 2% of people with disabilities and 50% of women in senior management in the public service, and make proposals. And I think the Commission has now included that request of the Portfolio Committee in its annual report, APP for 2017-18. With regards to branch monitoring and evaluation, Honorable Chair, we are constantly requested by SCOA, which is again another portfolio committee in Parliament, to brief the SCOA with regards to performance information of the departments, particularly when it sits on a regular basis. So we included this on our work plan or our APP for 17-18 so that we can do analytical brief on performance information in the public service. And again, we will also do an analytical brief on consultants in the public service. But one flagship project in this regard, it will be the report on the evaluation of departments against constitutional values and principles, Honorable Chair. I think that's where we said we are going to identify 3 national departments and all 9 in all provinces so that we can conduct this evaluation. Commission has also identified inspection of the value chain on the availability of learner teacher support material at selected schools in all provinces. Again, this is part of deepening the need to ensure that this improved teaching and learning when schools reopen. So the value chain will also allow the Public Service Commission to identify if indeed provinces have processes in place to order books in advance and deliver them closer to the warehouses in the districts so that they can be ready for delivery to the respective schools when schools reopen. In the Free State, there will be inspections that will be conducted at selected police stations. Again, is to begin to to look at the service delivery sites and ensure that indeed services are delivered accordingly. There will also be inspections at the hospitals and clinics in KwaZulu-Natal province, and then inspections at service delivery sites in the Eastern Cape. With regard to the final branch of the Public Service Commission, which is the Integrity and Anti-Corruption, the Commission, in terms of 17-18 annual performance plans, the public administration investigations will be conducted, and in this regard, provisional reports of 55% of investigations received will be finalized within 3 months upon receipt of all relevant information, and 65% of early resolution reports on complaints will also be approved within 45 days from the date of receipt of all documents. Honorable Chair, the Commission also in this year identified that there should be a fact sheet on disciplinary proceedings on financial misconduct for 2016-17 financial year. This is where departments report to the Public Service Commission, DPSA and the National Treasury with regard to cases involving financial misconduct, because cases of involving financial misconduct should be finalized speedily, and then they should be reported to these three institutions, and key to it is the Public Service Commission. I think with regard to the management of National Anti-Corruption Hotline, 80% of National Anti-Corruption Hotline cases will be assessed and referred to the respective departments within 21 days of reporting such cases. And this will assist in ensuring that 65% of the reports on, in terms of the feedback are also presented to the panel of the commissioners for the approval and the closure of those cases accordingly. Finally, in terms of this branch, we would like to indicate that the Commission in its 2017-18 annual performance plan would like to assess the implementation of financial disclosures for 2016-17, and in this regard, 100% of all those forms received will be scrutinized. 60% of departments that provide satisfactory responses in respect of handling of false or incomplete financial disclosures will also be interacted with. There will be 50 new workshops that have been identified on to provide advice on professional and ethical conduct in the public service. And then indeed, those cases for early resolution will also be addressed accordingly. As I move close to the end of the presentation of the Public Service Commission, Honorable Chair, it's just to bring to your attention the adjusted appropriations or the budget of the Commission. Honorable Chair, during the 17-18 financial year, the Public Service Commission will receive 244 million rand. I think in terms of the work plan of the Commission, we have already indicated to yourself, Chair, that the Public Service Commission is starting a financial year with a 9 million shortfall. And this will contribute significantly to its lack of achievement of some of its key areas. But I think this is a matter that we know it's government-wide, but it's important just to bring to the attention of the Honorable Chair and the Portfolio Committee. But perhaps just to note that of this 244 million, 188 million goes to compensation of employees, then only 55 million is left for goods and services. And I think that's why, Honorable Chair, you will notice that when we say we are starting this financial year 9 million short, this is how the big chunk of the PSS budget goes to its compensation of employees. On this slide, which is on slide 24, Honorable Chair, we also show how this budget is broken down in terms of the respective branches of the Commission. Of course, you'll see that the first branch, which is administration, because that's where the corporate services is the one that takes the big chunk, but mainly because it's where most of the commitment that the PSC has is located. Just to note the following, Honorable Chair, the PSC is a knowledge-based organization and does not outsource its work. The bulk of the PSC's budget is allocated to compensation of employees. This has created an imbalance in the PSC's budget in the sense that an average of 77% is allocated to compensation of employees and only 23% to goods and services. And this slide, Honorable Chair, it then shows in terms of the percentage that we're referring to in terms of the branches. That's why you see that what that mean, LMP, monitoring and evaluation. It's how it is allocated. Finally, as I conclude, Honorable Chair, is to talk about the challenges impacting on the implementation of this particular annual performance plan. The PSC's goods and service budget for 17-18 financial year amounts to 51 million. However, the operations cost is the major cost driver. It takes up to 97% of that particular budget, leaving only 3%, which is 1.7 for the outputs on the work plan. In other words, this work plan that we've just shared with you can only be achieved by 3% of the budget. In this regard, it will be only 1.7. And I think that's where we say we experience difficulties in this regard. As a result of the shortfall in the goods and services budget, the chairperson of the Public Service Commission has issued a memorandum indicating with effect from the 1st of April, there will be no implementation of any output on the operation plan or activities with cost implications, e.g. traveling, without prior approval of the Director General as the accounting officer and the Chief Financial Officer as the custodian of the budget of the Commission. And I think this just to tighten our financial management and financial discipline. The chairperson has brought the challenges experienced in respect of its budget due to shortfalls in the baseline at allocation and budget cuts by the National Treasury to the attention of the former and current Minister of Finance and requested meetings to discuss the prejudice the PSC is suffering due to the budget constraints. These challenges have been brought to the attention of the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, that's yourself, chairperson. And I think we are of the view that going forward such interactions will also help in dealing with this matter. Finally, the office accommodation is also impacting negatively on the health and morale of the staff. The chairperson has communicated with the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, the former and current Minister of Public Works, as well as the Deputy Minister of Public Works to seek intervention in this regard. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And Chairperson of the Public Safety Commission, please, you want to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Please, our report members. I'm hoping that one of the projects is going to ask a question. A relevant one. What do you
think?
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the Public Service Commission Amendment 12, I've complained about this in the past. I said we dealt with this Amendment 12. And this is an amendment, it was not a full parliament. And we dealt with it, I went off sick. I came back, we dealt with it again. I disappeared again, we dealt with it again. Now it's here again, and it's back again. Now this is an amendment, not in a full bill. I wonder how long a bill will take. We must deal with a bill. More than 5 years, more than the term of our term of office. Now I see that you are saying that the Minister of JCSM not yet. You have extended to him for a comment and you have not received any comment from him. There's no progress. Now, the issue I'm raising here about this is that not the issue of the Minister has not yet, there's no progress from the Minister. There's a new Minister again. In this committee and the new deputy minister. Is this going to be now again another delay? Or can't we perhaps take a decision? Because this thing is just not ending. Can't we perhaps say that this thing is fast track where the minister, the deputy minister, together with the officials and the chair of the committee, deal with this issue here? And then just bring it to us because we've discussed it over and over. Deal with this outside the meeting and then bring it back here so we can finalize this amendment. And this is a small amendment that has taken so long. Thank you, Chief.
No, that's a very relevant thank you,
so very much for the opportunity. I really appreciate this opportunity that you give me. Chair, I would like to support what the Honourable permanent member on that one, which means that one is one of the resolutions. Then coming back with a team on this in 2 weeks' time, we get a very progressive feedback in terms of the progress. On that way, we can start to ask you from the call. I am a bit worried if then the 3% then goes to the core mandate of public service commission, there is something that needs to be done. And I would love to your leadership chain, and of course the interact with the Minister of the and the Minister, to say how best can we then make a plea to Treasury. One of our key priorities as this administration deal with maladministration, corruption, non-compliance, the declaration of financial interest by the public servants, and all these other critical issues that the public service looks at, which they will not go to fully understand. Which means that it's going to be a free ride for all. We're just going to be embarrassed and shocked when the DA, which is good in terms of getting the things that you do, then they will say to the media, but this case is there, it's not very resourced. It's not about the millions, but it's about doing the right thing. Because even the opposition thinks that they raise, it asks us sometimes to deal with things correctly. And they wake up all on that. I'm saying that I'm positive, also that's being apologetic on my point. The other one should link to that of under financial resource, all the departments across the board. Which means that the point that we have been raising, I know it's before even you join us, and I think it was public service commission only with the second and third, was it the third report sometime before the new chair joined us, that we must probably, in our engagement with the ministry chair, I'm suggesting that we must look at how do we then streamline the administration of the conduct, since when I raised it, I'm just bringing back again because we might take calls. Why do we have so many entities and departments that they only pay for personal cost? I don't want paying salaries, it's not about paying salaries only, but dealing with operational cost only. Then the core money then gets spent, and we're always going to complain to these departments and entities to say they don't do their work. Even the rest also, it's all feeling now a week. But, yeah. So I'm believing that care as one of our priorities, that we may leave as our leader to report that at least was attempted to answer the core mandate of government to execute its responsibilities. The other one that Chair, I will appeal, without confusing the business plan, but I must appreciate also that Dr. also did also bring us back to the issue of that the current financial year that we are going to report to. Next month, that we should know so that we can get a sense of comfort in anticipating what you're going to get, and also to know that there is a crossover in terms of other things that are ongoing concerns. I must appreciate that. But the meeting with the public works chair, probably the meeting, because we've got lots of things to be with the budget processing now, probably in our own shape, we are not delegating everything to you, but I'm saying so that it finds somewhere in attention. The issue of public works, that was raised last time, every year, and I think before one ends, there is something that when we come back, we can be able to report and give a sense of comfort in different minutes. I think I'm done, Chair. That is not questions, it's a comment and some proposals and some way forward. Thank you.
Honorable Verma? I've noted your honorable guest who will come for the second bite. I will give you an opportunity. I also note you, Honorable Hanebot, and after that it's going to be Honorable Motao, and after that it's going to be Honorable Day. In that order, please. And by the way, I note what Honorable Thomas said about the rest being sleeping. Okay, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I have maybe two unfair questions, but it does bother me, and it's an issue that is in the back of my, at the back of my mind, and I would like to bring it up here. I see on slide 19, it says that this financial year, 2017-18, you will do a study to determine the various government departments receiving the 2% of disabled people. Now, I want to ask, maybe you haven't decided yet how you're going to do this, but I want to ask, how are you going to do this study and conduct this study? Because, you know, because there are people with disabilities who have not come into the public service, who went for an interview, maybe it was they were unfairly treated there at the interview, but they haven't come into the public service. So how will you question that study, and what questions will you put in that study? For example, in the Western Cape, I see above you did a study in the major hospital in the Western Cape, but in the Western Cape, for example, there's a deaf lady who had a diploma. She realized she couldn't get a job, so she went to study a degree in radiography, it's another one I forgot the word, but I think it's something to do with radiotherapy. And she's the only deaf person in South Africa who completed that kind of degree. She got a bursary from the hospital or the Department of Health, and now she needs to work to pay off that bursary. But she can't get a job in radiotherapy because she's deaf. Now, she went through interview panels, waited months and months and months before she was told that she did not get the job. Now, and it's the only deaf person with that degree. She needs to pay back the Department of Health, but she cannot get a job to do that. So how will you get a person like her, you know, when you do this kind of study, who gets impeded from getting into departments to get jobs? That's my first question. My second question is, we have deaf teacher assistants who are not qualified teachers, but they're only deaf teacher assistants. I don't know which level they fall under. There are two groups in this. Those who are paid by the Department of Education and those who are paid by the governing body. Right. So now in the Western Cape, those who are paid by the department is being let off, and many deaf teacher assistants are being let go. I tried to assist the one who went to the CCMA, and the CCMA told me that they do not handle those kind of issues because they are paid by the Department of Education, and they get a salary receipt that says that you need to contact the bargaining council. And the deaf staff don't know this. They get the deductions are from their salary, and they don't even know this. They don't even know what they are being deducted for. So I've emailed this bargaining council, I'm still trying to look for this person, but they have not responded. This person has already been let go. Now, because the Department of Education in the Western Cape is cutting their budget, all of their deaf teacher assistants are being let go, and we don't have many deaf teacher assistants, and they are the ones who need to carry South African Sign Language through English schools, because hearing teachers, many of them don't know South African Sign Language, but now the deaf teachers are being cut, and I'm worried that this is going to affect the rest of South Africa as well, where our deaf teacher assistants are being let go, and she's already been laid off. Now, how does the PSC make themselves known? I consider the deaf community as a silent community, and their issues always come up later in years subsequent to when it has happened, because nobody listens to them, they don't know who to contact. And I'm saying that because over the weekends, the past weekends, in the Eastern Cape, deaf children went hungry from Friday, Saturday and Sunday. That I got the SMS that there was no food at their hospital at the school. The deaf teacher assistants, who don't want to talk because out of fear they're saying they're going to lose their jobs, and they say the school principal is incompetent. But now I'm listening to the NSG, for example, and the National School of Government, and who needs to train these people. And then the principal says, the complaints I received is the principal can't even switch on a computer. So children who are 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, they have no food, and the principal is not doing anything because they are incompetent. Now, how does the PSC listen to those kind of situations, cases, where people can't make a call? WhatsApp and there were groups on Facebook, and that causes an embarrassment to the Department of Education. Now, how are they assisted? So now back to my second question. How are you going to do this study if these kinds of things happen? People who are not even in the public service yet, for you to question them because they also face these inequality. Sorry for being long chair. I know I just had to get that into my chest.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Chair, I've listened carefully to the issue around the salaries to commissioners and the portion that's taken from the budget. But I think everybody knows, I can't believe that anybody at this level cannot know, that you cannot run any institution or any entity or anything if you have 77% on salaries or of your whole budget. It is impossible to do any work if that goes to that. So surely, Chair, we must also start to be innovative and find ways to keep on doing our job, except from just asking for money to pay more salaries. Because I can guarantee you, Chair, out of history, if you go back, the more money you would get, you're still going to pay 77% and 80% to salaries. There must be other ways of doing your job. Otherwise, we must revisit and ask serious questions. It cannot happen that you spend that much on compensation of employees of your budget. My other concern would be that I'm just a bit worried, maybe some a bit more information on the problem with the building and the morale, etc., etc. Is the building collapsing on staff? Is it not being maintained? What is wrong with it? Because you can't make an observation and try and fight for something to be corrected if you don't know. It just is a bad building or the environment is bad. What is actually wrong with it? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, yes, Honourable Madam.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jen. Sorry for being late this morning. Got stuck in traffic. Just a couple of questions. We refer to slides 4 and 5. Now, you know my concern always about the PSC is that is that going to be that going to do the things that were done wrongly and correct them and you're going to crack the whip and the nonsense you have the muscles to do that. Now, if you look at slide 4 and 5, you'll see what my concern has always been. Your advice, you recommend, you propose measures, you give directions, and then at the bottom you say these directions are binding. Now, my understanding of the language tells me that if you give a direction and then it is binding, then at some point it has to become a directive. Much stronger. And my question would then be, what happens? Are there any consequences where these directives are not carried out? Because now you have the muscle, you have this binding directive. When it's not done, are there any consequences that management to make sure that these things get done? The other one is just as a matter of interest to give myself a sense of what will happen, of course, in the projections that you're making for 2017. If you look on slide 13, we talk of the 360 complaints that were lodged in 2002 were actually finalized. Was there a trend in those complaints? What was the nature of it? Is there something that you can learn from the kind of complaints that you get so that you can go to prepare for this year in which we are operating? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Text is not here. Honourable your floor, do you want to ask a question?
Oh,
oh, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. With reference to slide 21, I would like to know the what is NACH? The National Anti-Corruption Hotline. I would like to know whether all cases are being acted upon and what is the turnaround time for action. Now you say that you refer the complaints or the cases you get, you refer to departments. What is the nature of the monitoring you do to ensure that cases and complaints that are being lodged are being acted upon? Thank you.
Thank you. You want to go for the
second question? I apologize, just to also to expand on the question that has been raised by Honorable Staff. In terms of in relation to slide 19, in terms of your investigations that you have been dealing with in terms of the abuse of higher salaries demanded against alleged counter offers in this way. How big is the abuse of that? But also, Chair, why I'm asking that question in terms of money terms now, and also in terms of numbers, without naming and shaming the department, if we have that. I'm raising that because from where I'm sitting, the argument should be based on technical skills that makes the country and the department tick. And most often, from where I'm sitting, is an assumption that I'm making, that you get the higher level, which are more like signature protocol, not the actual way the issues happen in terms of service delivery, machinery of the department as well. If you can just expand on that in relation to page slide 30. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Honourable
Jack, your term came and went, and we are
taking
it back.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Just to for something very small, just I think I also need to respond on the issue of my minor about the rent that's very firm. I think what she actually means that the rent is lean, mean, and very resilient, refuses to be captured by monopoly capital. So it's very resilient. It's not doing bad. The issue here that I want to raise here, on page 5 on your output of oversight function. Now, my experience from department, you know, when the department is very slow to act. Now, I see you say the issue about giving directions, directors or directions, you give directions, and these directions are binding. I just want to know the compliance rate when you give this direction. You say that within 60 days they must act. Now, my experience from the department, you say within 60 days they must. That's like 60, my experience is 60 years, not 60 days. So, I just want to know what's the compliance rate to the actually act within those 60 days to rectify whatever direction you have given to the implement. Is there compliance? And that's what I'm trying to know. We have a serious problem with it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Gates. Members, I think I have a different way of asking the question that I'm going to ask. It's probably a similar to Honorable Soma and Honorable Vanderbilt. Now, we are sitting with a crisis situation here. And You know, I'm very concerned because anything that threatens or that weakens our constitution is a major concern for me. You see, Section 196 of the Constitution establishes the Public Service Commission. And one of the things that the Public Service Commission is supposed to do, it's supposed to be investigating these matters investigate, monitor, evaluate the organization and administration and personnel practices of the public service. It also has to propose measures to ensure effective and efficient performance within the public service. And so the list goes on. Now, what is a very serious concern to me is that no matter how good our policies can be, there is no way we can achieve the results that we seek without an effective and efficient public service. Now, there is an institution called the Public Service Commission, entrusted with this very important responsibility. And an institution that is entrusted to look at, remember, there's only one Public Service Commission in terms of the Constitution. And that means it's not just looking at your national, provincial, local government, even SOE. And we have a moral crisis. And yet we are saying this Public Service Commission must only get 3%. In the budget that they are getting, only 3% must go towards doing, fulfilling this function. How serious are we? Where are our priorities? What are our priorities as a country? And I'm saying this because the Constitution is our collective moral signature. If we are not going to be giving the necessary resources to the institutions that are supposed to assist us to ensure that we in pursuit of our prosperous agenda, and by the way, you can't pursue a prosperous agenda if you are standing on an amoral platform. Now, how are you going to do? And honestly, I mean, it's frustrating. And unfortunately, we're gonna get, and I'm talking to my own comrades, that we are going to get attacked as the ruling party. Because we have a huge executive. But we have had a very lean, that these instruments that are supposed to make the country work. I mean, we've been on the other side visits, the kind of pathetic situation that we saw there, and today we are saying the people that are supposed to enable us as this oversight committee to perform this function, because they are the ones that must have the research capacity to give us the information from which to act on as this committee. But we are saying in a budget of 51 million, they must have spent only 3% of that for that function. I am extremely concerned. I think we really have to go back and discuss this thing. First of all, we have to discuss it, members. I know that this is not right. We have to discuss this in our study group and see how we're going to address this matter. Because to me, it's serious. It's very, very serious. And, you know, we are going to be found wanting. And the best way of weakening, by the way, weakening oversight, is by crippling the institutions that are supposed to ensure the checks and balances. That are supposed to deepen democracy, that are supposed to be promoting, you know, an ethical and professional public service. How are these people going to be? If these people that we are expecting to do such an important function based on our collective moral signature, which is the Constitution, how are they going to do this job? How are they going to? Right now, I have a question, a very, very serious one, based on what we went through during our oversight. We actually found that, or even in fact during the Peril Year Workshop, we actually found that all the hospitals are not compliant with legislation. But there is something that we are supposed to be asking the Public Service Commission now to go and investigate, because this is what came out of that oversight process, that the hospitals are finding it extremely, extremely difficult to comply with some of the provisions of the PFMA because of the nature of the environment that they are operating under. Now, for us to be able to call for a review of that legislation, which is crippling the quality of the service that we render in the state hospital, these people that we are supposed to be relying on, they have no resources. Where is spending this? I mean, this thing is really upsetting me. Where is spending this thing? We wanted them to go and actually go and identify, because they have to go and actually go to each hospital. Now, we need you to go to each hospital and find out exactly what are these problems with this. Because from what we found, I mean, this is only a hypothesis at this stage, because we don't have a representative sample enough to actually say to us, indeed, these provisions of the PFMA are crippling the service and the quality of service, or they are compromising the quality of service in the hospital. Now, how are they going to do that? How are they going to be fulfilling the provisions of Section 196? Now, I am saying, members, we really have to understand that, unfortunately, if you are performing an oversight function, unfortunately for us, you have to understand that in the process, inadvertently, you do make enemies. Because there are certain things, if you are going to be truthful enough, you are going to make enemies in the process. Because this thing doesn't make sense to me. And this thing, by the way, is actually crippling our very community. How is our committee going to perform its function well? Because the old report must come to us. We represent Parliament. The Public Service Commission has to table its report to us, and we must be able to articulate the things that are coming out of your report, and we must be able to consider some of the recommendations, and you must identify those things that are working and those things that are not working. And right now, what Madam Councilman Honorable Dex was complaining that we are just a simple bill, an amendment, a simple amendment. It's taking forever. And it's supposed to be coming before us, by the way. It's supposed to be coming before us by the 17th of May. But we are told now that that some key stakeholders have not commented. Why are people not commenting on it? The reason why they are not going to take this entity seriously, the commission seriously, is because we are not treating this commission seriously. We are saying it's got to be independent. It's going, it has to perform its functions without fear, favor, or prejudice. We have all these beautiful words that we say, but we are prejudicing them from performing that very function. No. Members, honestly, I do think that we do need to have a very, very strong resolution around this matter. Because, you know, and again, we also need to understand what is the rationale of National Treasury when they are deciding that they are going to be cutting down the cost. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they've literally taken away 9 million.
And they don't complete.
the situation of which in a budget that is already too little. They are saying they are striking on a negative balance already. And we want them to be able to deal with the issues. We actually found another link to the Public Service Commission. When we went to Malawi, I'm not sure if members still remember, because these things, Mina, they came here and they frightened me and African so much that these things that happened that I don't like, they hurt me so badly. We found there that the HOD in Mpumalanga, they signed the performance management agreement, but they were never appraised. Their performance was never appraised, but they were getting bonuses. The question you were raising is, now we need to be dealing with those things. Now how did you determine this? And these are the trinkets. We are going through a low road, an economic low road track currently. Now, you need to be finding a way of saving in whichever way you can. But that those instruments that we have that are supposed to be assisting us in doing that, we are frustrating them, we are making sure that they become no entities. And soon, obviously, that very constitution, that is our collective moral signature, is going to be undermined. Because without the administration, there is nothing you can achieve in this country. You can have your NDP, you can have whatever. If this commission is not going to be able to do its job, that means you are actually crippling the public administration itself. That's what we are doing, effectively. And I'm saying this strong words because I don't know how am I even going to interrogate you on the things that you are saying here. Because I can see that it's not your own making. Number one, the reality is that you have to get the people by virtue of the nature of this department, you must remember, it's very research driven. It's very, very research driven. What kind of research are you going to do with the person? When we have such, a lot of challenges. And again, because it's a research-driven institution, in other words, you are not going to take a shower deposit and put in there. How is it going to conduct research? The standard. No, I'm being serious. I'm just telling you about the seriousness of the situation. You're not going to take a mistake or somebody who doesn't understand, who has no clue about how to conduct a research and put that person and say, go conduct a research. A research has got to be reliable, the outcomes of it have got to be reliable. And honestly, members, we need to find a way of in our report, there has to be an expression of this thing. We can't allow this thing to go online. We simply can't. If we are serious about our job, we are not going to allow this to go like this. And even now, there are lots of things that we want to do. We were saying in our last meeting on our business summit that, you know, even our structure that we have in public service, you have your DG, your DPG, your chief director, your director, your assistant director, and so forth. And we want to be also be saying to the Public Service Commission, go and undertake a study. Do we really need this? Is this system that we have, this organism that we have in public administration, consistent with our developmental objectives? And if that is the case, then we are not, in local government, because I'm more of a local government practitioner, and thank you, Honorable Guest, you know very well, we don't have that thing. Everybody has clear things that they are doing, and in the Western government, they are not delivering anything. A local government is both a business and a government at the same time. But we have less. We have in local government, and always, by the way, you must forgive me, whenever I talk about local government, I always say we. It's with me forever, you know, it's in my DNA. You know, all of us. And we know, you have a municipal manager, you know exactly what the municipal manager is doing. The director of infrastructure, you know exactly what the director of infrastructure is responsible for. But in the public service, it's all these people. We met even, he was telling us that he has to comply with the norms and standards that they employ to people, but then they only need one person. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? So I'm saying this is the commission that we want to go and actually begin to investigate this thing and come back to us and say, this is the thing, go and do the research. Go to all the different spheres of government and go to the different and see the different models and come back to us so that they are able to fulfill their section 196 of the Constitution. How are they going to do it? If we only give them, they only have 2%, something is fundamentally wrong with our priorities. Yesterday I was talking to the public, to the Center for Innovation, and again it's the same thing there. You wanted to innovate, we have a lot of problems, we have rats, we have this, we have that, we have even human rats, but we need to find innovative solutions for those things, but how are we going to find them if people are left with such a little money to do the work? No, but I think we honestly, members, I'm sorry that I have to call this thing, but absolutely. But I think we definitely need to come up with a very, very strong resolution. We will ask Julia and Noga to be able to sit down and find a way of crafting something that will be going, that will be taking a part of our report to the house. Because this is a situation. And we also need to find the rationale of national treasure. When national treasure decides that no, I'm cutting your budget, but I'm giving you more, what are they using? I mean, just the other day, you heard what national treasure did. They allocated more money for higher education. And some of you, who were there at the caucus, you remember that I asked the question. The same one I said. Why are we not providing free education for every team? Why are we providing higher education for free? Are we going to be giving, theologians, free education? Doesn't need a degree. And if I'm saying respectfully, I'm not saying anything about theology, but I'm just saying, something is fundamentally wrong, because if we are saying radical economic transformation, what do we mean? If we are going to be saying that, are your decisions consistent with what we are saying? Obviously, to me, if you are saying radical economic transformation, I want to see more people going to entities where they are going to learn to be plumbers, they are going to learn to be electricians, they are going to learn all these tangible skills. We've delivered over 4 million houses in South Africa. What does that mean? That means there is a big market for plumbers, for electricians, and so forth. That's what it means. That's what it means to me. And that's where I will put money. And the funny thing, I was advising a growing couple. I was advising students. When I actually had spoke to them about this very issue of no free school, and I was saying, Mina, don't, I'm told what I'm going to deal with the law issues. I'm not going to give you free education. At the university, I'm not. I'm going to select specific departments, and also it's going to be based on merit. And because I also wanted the respect output that is going to be informing me, but I'm not going to go with the blanket thing. You know, I'm not, because I'm not in, we have very few people who are contributing in our national system, the taxpayers, the payers who have contributors. There are fewer than people who are not in that, who are not there. And therefore, we have to understand our own financial reality every country. And guess what? The students clapped. Yes, they did. Because they can't let this logic and sense. You are telling them this thing. You are giving them sexual information. They understood it. I thought I was going to be booed. I was not. No, but I'm saying, I know that, but I'm saying, honorably, friend, I was expecting that you were going to boo me. You know, nowadays, when you say something and it's not popular, people boo you. So I thought they were going to boo me when I said, no, I'm not, you were my student. If me now was responsible for you, you are not going to get it. And they laughed. No, because we can't. Our economics does not allow us to do that. I would give the equity so that the unemployed, even those that have stopped seeking employment, can now become self-employed. They get the skills. Then I can support equity. And how the money they are exactly. Welcome back, honorable director. I use that energy. You know, so I'm saying, honestly, guys, we are in for a very, very, our life is going to be.
Can I knock off now?
Yeah. No, you can't, because you owe us from the oversight you've been. You were telling us that you've been, you come back and you disappear. Now we want you to be present. Anyway, I don't have questions for you, but you may just react to it. But I am really asking our researcher and Julius to really come with something that's gonna be strong, that we collectively must adopt, guys, which will form part of our report that we are going to put in the house. Yes, and discuss. That's what I'm saying, that we can table it here for our discussion. They're going to craft it again. Then once they've crafted it, we can table it here and see if we are in agreement with some of the recommendations that we are putting forward as a committee. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry that I spoke long, but it's because this matter is so close to my heart.
We appreciate that very much. Thank you very much. We've really noted down the comment that has been raised by the group and Madam Maina, the someone, and also the latest comment that has been made by the chairperson relating to the state of affairs and health of the resources in the Public Service Commission. When I respond to some of the issues raised by Honorable Kandabal, I will actually explain the point that we are responding to quite directly, which are really affecting the Public Service Commission. Honorable Belma, my colleagues from the Public Service Commission are listening to how I can select this area. They will see the area that I've left so that they are able to see on those. Honorable Belma, we were specified the portfolio committee to do this study on disability. As of now, what we only ask our official Director General and the team is that to do a scoping exercise the information which the DSA has fully on the statistics related to disability and also the TMB with the impact study. They know the reasons why, but what departments are given on that. So that scoping team, which will do a desktop research, will actually look at that in order to create a program statement for us to be able to see, to dig deeper in the area of research related to that. I expect them to produce as soon as possible a project plan, which, knowing your interest and skill in this area, is clear. I will ask them to submit that project plan to you so that we can add the area so that it is falling short of it, so that we can quickly do this. We thought this is one of the low-hanging fruits that we can deal with quickly, because the disability and the reasons are already there in our system and the information that is given. So we don't expect a long study. I have also noted in this meeting that you arranged certain instances of teachers who are able to teach people with disability. We have been cut in some provinces. It's a matter that I will ask the chief operating officer of our Public Service Commission, PD, to contact you so that she can get the details so that we can follow up on those details related to those incentives. I've also heard that in some provinces also people who are instructors who can help with instruction on issues of disability have been left aside. Of course, we've heard also even during our discussions that even access to some departments of state for people with disabilities are not proper. So we will do a comprehensive study on this matter and work together with the DSA and CDMB to ensure, but we will also consult you on the project plan so that you don't need anything else and follow up indeed on those matters that reflect on the issues of people with disabilities so that you will encourage. Whatever Hans, you're quite correct that the norm is a bit high when we talk about personnel vis-à-vis operational expenditure, 77%. Probably should have been 65, 45, or 60, maximum 6 with that. But the issue, as the second point indicated, where essentially, and we had sensitive information of the state and all of our officials and security services. And the point is that we don't outsource work to others. So we do the analysis, we do the analysis and the information. So to a certain extent, we're a little bit different to a normal department that we do contact employees, we consultants and so on. We employ people, we match them, we ensure that they handle the information of states very, very carefully, because some of it we even receive from friendly governments that we do anything for fighting that is with. So it has been that's why we find that we are high expenditure. And also because of an independent body, constitutional body, we also have put a lot of emphasis on what the constitution says that our report must be partial. So we ensure that there's a strong quality assurance and sense of privacy assuring our way. So that when we give a report, we take to ensure that the people who have responded to it have given us information and so on. And we don't want to push anybody. So it does require some. But let me just say, because of financial constraints, we've already reviewed our structure. And this is what is painful to us. We've got capacity money from federal region. Because we presented to them around 2014 about the challenges, they gave us money. We employed people, especially in the area of oversight in the provinces. And the following year, then they cut it by 15 million. Which meant that now they will employ people, but we can't have resources to deal with this. That is one of the major priorities we have to measure. Then what we went further then, after that, we actually reviewed again the structure to try and deal with the fact that we suddenly want this 15 million cut in our budget. We actually cut the establishment by 23% and we realized a saving of 5 million, which we are also proposing to put on food and services. Again, Treasury said that we need the approval to change money from personnel to good services. And when we sought that approval, they declined to get into the family. That's why we did that investment. So we lost about 20 million. And despite the fact that we've done this cut, and then again, they have a policy of setting a ceiling. They put a ceiling over our staff, which requires us to cut again by 11 persons. We've identified persons who are about 55. Or to 60 who can retire and we need to pay them. But to pay them out of our system, we need to pay about 8 million to pay that. But we've not yet got that much from Treasury. We're still trying to get that. This will be a one-off so that we do that. And by those measures, we saw we would be able to balance that without compromising the integrity of the work and the value of the work that we do. But we really appreciate the support from the chairperson
Just on the floor, advocate, I thought it may be just to share with the committee.
If you compare the Public Service Commission with a similar institution, which is the Public Procurator, which is, has also been complaining, by the way, about this same issue. In 2013-2014, the Public Procurator was allocated about 199 million. And then in 2014-2015, they were allocated 217 million. Then, and in the coming year, that went up to the following year, it was allocated 246 million. Now, if we want, because this institution, if you go to the legislation that establishes, you go to the constitution, you go to the, even the legislation that establishes the same institution, you know, you will actually find that it's similar. They have to be independent, they have to be this, they have to be that. And over and above that, on their commission. And you actually find that they only have a budget. As we speak, 2017-18, their amount is only, for Kutsensele, it's only 51,300,000. It's something is fundamentally wrong. And I'm just saying, it's important, I thought it was important that I just draw the attention of the members to that fact.
That really the structural problem in the way our budget has been allocated. And we will, that's why with our argument and the letter we can do that, we just would not ask for additional money, we just want the money that has been taken together with the inflationary increase to ensure that it will proceed. And we're willing to comply with many of the measures that they put on us. We've cut newspapers, we've cut travel delegations, we've cut 7 meals in our functions, to ensure that we also play our own role in dealing with this matter. So we will feel a little bit let down in the way we get, because we have ourselves tried to comply with all the things that Minister Kwasi Kwasi said as us cutting the position. The building thing, we've spent so much for the building. It is a sad story that starts from 2011. Where we asked Patrick West to procure for us to do that. We know in terms of legal rights, we get the constitutional institution, go out on our own, we have a process of nominating, but we prefer to follow the government because we didn't want to be enmeshed in the same things of dealing like the IEC and so on, that have happened in the past. To our regret, from 2011, Public West has not been able to provide us with a fit accommodation. The reason is they have not followed proper procedures, and we do suspect some element of corruption, and thirdly, there's nothing bureaucratic in Asia in the way that they're treated us. And we've tried to talk to even the ministers that have been there and to talk to them. But it is clear that it's a matter that even in the new ministry, we're going to ask people to actually try and do a warranty. Because what is clear is that we gave them clear specifics for a building, they got somebody to build a building for us, but none of the specifics were used. So given that we needed, we couldn't go to that building, and apparently that owner says that he was given the specifics by Public Works, and they signed, and they taken them to court about this. And they said that they would find a separate line to do that. But because of the court case and finding a suitable client which has not been found, there's a building that is standing there that they should be paying for it. We are in a dump of a building that has been empty for 10 years. Water is not good, the air quality is not good. All of the public service, we've just started all the sick leave. Our sick leave has increased. Public servants are bringing blankets to work because the air conditioning system is not working well. Many are taking tablets for sinus and humidifiers for them to breathe. The sewage, raw sewage, is smelling in some of the offices of staff in that building. And it's a terrible upmarket squad again where they put us in the outside hours. And they still not doing any anything. We have some of the officials give us information. They promise to advertise, but they don't advertise. So we've really reached a situation where we can no longer have any resistance conversation with the public works that will ensure that we get the information as soon as possible. And it's really affecting our staff very badly in terms of they have to perform under different conditions. Honourable Mwata, you always raise this point, and we agree with you on this matter. So I just two additional information. There are two additional information that we would like to bring to your attention. Is that the directions are binding after 60 days. They are supposed to tell us within 6 days if they have implemented that. They are not supposed to tell us that they have implemented them. If they don't implement them, we can, of course, one option is to go to court to enforce them. We have the intention to do that. The second option, our public service commission has allows us to report to the police and lay a criminal offense, which is punishable by, I think, 12 months. And we have done that with a few DGs. One of them was the DG in KZN. But what we found is that the police refused to defend. They are also saying that they don't have in their books a criminal record. So we are trying now of not respecting the constitutional body. So we are trying now to meet the commissioner, the acting commissioner, to try and actually sign an MOU where we are going and in the NPA to sign an MOU to ensure that when we ask that the head of department must be charged and arrested for ignoring the summons of the PLC or not complying with the directives of a constitutional institution in terms of the constitution and our act, that at least they can agree to defend. But because we just feel ourselves, we've got a campaign about resources, if we take the department to court, they will drag it on and on and on, and we will not have the funds to pay the state campaign or any other to deal with it. But we have those areas that say that we will deal with. Coming to Honorable Young Blut, she's raised the issue of the NET cases. We've discussed this and reviewed this. First and foremost, the NET cases that come, this is the mandate that we're given by the National Cabinet of our country to actually receive all complaints relating to public service maladministration, corruption, and also irregular activities in our public service. So there are two things that happened in terms of that process. Some of the complaints apply to the mandate of the Public Service Commission, and therefore we investigate them and deal with them thoroughly from one side. But those that we defend are measures that don't fall within our mandate, but relate, for instance, to the police service. If somebody has stolen a government car or has pointed a gun on something which is a criminal offense, and also things that can fall outside our money. So we usually give the department those matters to follow up, and we ask them to give us a briefing within 40 days. And before the 40 days, of course, we remind them to do it. And ideally, then they usually tell us that they investigated us, give us the report and the findings that relate to it. And that happened, and as of now, our line is working quite better than any other line that is operating in government. And I understand, DG, that the turnover is about 75 now.
Yes, indeed.
75%. And that we get feedback and we're able to close those matters. Because it's not matters that are supposed to be delegated by us. And the turnaround time is from department is about 30 days. Honorable Dexter asked us whether direction which has been, would have been compliant with the most of our directions that we give find expression, because the directions that we give are actually largely on personal procedures relating to recruitment, elections, and and the point that needs to be made is that the PSA sets the norms and standards and the norms. So usually what would happen is that the department would not have followed the norms and standards that are set by the PSA. So when we find and give a direction, it's actually to say your policies, your regulations, your personnel employment are not in line with the values of the Constitution, and also not in line with the Public Service Act. Can you correct them? Nobody in the public sector would actually insist on going ahead with an unlawful thing so largely because they are procedural and related to the application of privilege. There's a large compliance when we've indicated that it is not that. The problem where we have problems with is usually when we actually disagree either with regular appointments or other things, which are better that we don't give directions on. And I will just stop there to allow you to leave the issue and Philly and the DPG Chief Financial Officer want to say something, but I just end with you of the questions that we're
taking. Okay. No, thank you very much. CEO, you can just be brief and respond. After that, when we come back, DG, when it's your turn to make the presentation, would you kindly react to some of the issues that are coming up here? And I'm saying this respectfully and with full support from the Deputy Minister. She's supporting me as well as we care on this. And she also thinks that it's a good idea that we hold you accountable. But after lunch, so you have time to eat and you relax. Okay,
no, thanks a lot, Chairperson. I think the Chairperson of the Public Service Commission addressed everything. The only point that I think is what came from Honorable Lissomo. The one on... that is the one on the higher salaries. I think it was a particular concern that the Public Service Commission identified, which has since been addressed by the new regulations by DPSA that kicked in from the 1st of August 2016. Because in the past, departments could just award a salary to someone even outside the salary band. But now the new regulations even prevent that, because they even begin to say only one notch and it must be within the salary band. So out of the work that the Commission has done, we have seen that the DPSA has built it into the regulations, which I think is very, very important. And again, even the counter offers, there will be instances where someone can come with dubious offer from some non-existing structures. But I think what now the regulations demand is to really look at, even if it's a counter offer, it's still within the regulated situation, which is not even going to be outside the salary band. I think, Honorable Mutaun, you mentioned the trend, the issue that came from some of the complaints that we investigated. And I think that the Chairperson has indicated there are some that are within the mandate of the Commission, there are some that are not. But the key to the ones that we investigate are those that have to do with irregular procurement and irregular appointments. And that's what the Commission investigates. I think, thank you very much, Honorable.
Okay, thank you very much, members. You may adjourn for lunch. We have to come back according to our program. You've got to be back here by 22:02. And please come back by 22:02 so that we can also, because I don't like this idea of those who are coming at the bottom of the presentation, we then start rushing them, you know. We must be looking through the time that we give the effort. Yeah, but you have to eat first. Okay, sure.
The lunch is out the door, right? And you can take the step over there.
Gone.